If your Bibles are still open, keep it in 1 John. And this morning I want to look at 1 John 5:4. And if you take notes, I've entitled the message Victory in Jesus. Victory in Jesus. 1 John 5:4. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. I want to spend some time this morning looking at these two sentences, this verse, and I want to open it up. I wanted to open up and show you some applications that you can take home with you today. First, let's pray. Holy Spirit, we come to you in thanksgiving for all of the Word of God, for every single word is the truth. And so as we look into this text and we look about being born of God, and we look at faith, we ask you to walk amongst us. And if there's one online or one here who does not or has not received Jesus Christ as their Savior, Lord, we do pray that as the message goes out, that you would open their hearts to it and that you would draw them to Christ, that they too might know him and be born of God, or born again, as we like to say, Lord. Just pray that that you would open those hearts. And for others, Lord, we pray that you would bring comfort where it's needed. You would help us to have a better understanding where that's needed. And conviction, Lord, pray that you might convict us where that's needed. Whatever we need, Lord, we pray that in this text and in this message, as it goes out, that you would reach every heart, And it would glorify you. And we ask it all in Christ's name and for your glory. Amen. For everyone who is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Two sentences, very simple sentences. And the text really is there to encourage believers to know we are not destined to be defeated. Let me say that again. Believers are not destined to be defeated by anything or anyone. We weren't born of God to be defeated by anything. And the text makes it clear that believers are not controlled by world values, temptations, or sin. That is not what we're controlled by. We're controlled by the Word of God and the indwelling Holy Spirit within us. And those two, God's Word and the Holy Spirit within us, as well as the fact being born of God, means that we will not be defeated by anything. And when we do taste the bitterness of defeat, it's simply because we allow it to happen. It doesn't have to happen. We have all the power we need, as we'll see. All the power we need to never be defeated by anything. We have the power to resist sin and live in accordance with God's will. All of us here listening that know Christ, we have that power. We've been given the victory in Jesus over life and the world. However, unfortunately, many of us may know that verse, may have read it 100 times, but how many of us claim it and live by it? Instead of living a victorious life in Christ, some brothers and sisters allow adversities to make them victims instead of victors. We let the things of the world get us down, discourage us. Why? Because we forget who we belong to. We forget that we're born of God. We're reborn or born again, any term you like. We're not the same. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if you're in Christ, you're a new creature. All things have become new. Behold, all things, old things have passed away. You're new. You have power. You have strength. You have endurance. And most of all, you have God. Why do some brothers and sisters do that? Or how do they do it? So simple. Being negative, looking back, allowing discouragement to reign in your hearts. This is so bad. I don't know. Lord, would you help me with this? And not really meaning it, crying out to him with no meaning, no trust, no faith, no anticipation that he will do it. That's why they become victims instead of victors. So they don't have a victorious faith. That's really what it boils down to. Mark 11:24 says, therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it and it'll be yours. That's all we have to do. We're talking about that in a Bible study this morning. We have to ask God, go to him with everything that's happening and trust in him to help you get through it. I don't care what it is, illness, sickness, financial, college, whatever it is you're going to be going through. Understand this, that as a child of God, born of God, you have the faith given to you to trust and to believe that he'll deliver you. He delivered Moses from the desert, didn't he? He didn't get him in the promised land, but he delivered him from Pharaoh. He delivered Daniel from the lion. He delivered Jonah from the whale. And he'll deliver you from whatever it is that you have to face each and every day. I'm not just referring to today. I'm saying every day of your life, there's something you're going to face as a Christian. And you know why? Because you're not just a moral person now. You're a spiritual person, and spiritual people get persecuted. Spiritual people should be looking at things altogether different than the world does. We're to be looking at it in faith. We're to be looking at it by God's providence, leading us and guiding us and causing those things to happen. And we have to remember Romans 8:28 says that no matter what it is, it's going to work out for your good. All things work together for good to them who love God and are called according to his purpose. That's what makes you victors and not victims. I don't think there's anything in the world that's more pathetic than a victim who claims to be born of God. I'm not saying we don't have those days when we're down, but I'm saying we should pick ourselves back up and just take hold of what we have. You see, people that look back and they're negative and they allow discouragement in their hearts, they forget Romans 8:28. They forget that all things are going to work out for their good. They forget that. And they don't apply Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with you, God says. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. They don't apply that. In many ways, discouraged Christians really go back to where they were before they were born of God. They try to handle it on their own. They get all nervous and upset about it. They don't trust God. When you do that, you're not trusting that God put that specific thing in your life to help you, to bring you to a place that you're not there yet. He wants you somewhere, and he brought that in your life to get you there. It's called providence, and it always works out for the believer's good. And another thing they forget the birth, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ only had one purpose, and that was to give his people freedom and give them victory over the grave. O grave, where is thy sting? That was the only purpose of it. Listen, Jesus didn't leave his throne in heaven so you and I would be victims. He didn't do that. He came to give Jerry. He came to give Wink and Pam. He came to give all of us the victory over this life and victory over ourselves, because that's our greatest enemy. You will fight no enemy on this side of glory. You will fight no enemy that's greater than yourself. None. Jesus didn't come in the flesh so that Brian and Mario could face when facing adversity, would tell the world when they ask, "Well, what's going on?" "Oh, I'm hanging in there." We're not hanging in there. He hung in there for us. We're to claim the victory in everything that happens, including and especially adversity. What adversity have you ever had or I ever had that matched the adversity that our Savior had? None. He didn't come for us to say we're hanging in there. He came to set his people free from the bondage of sin. John 8:32. If you continue in my word, you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. There's nobody that's ever been freer than a Christian. Why? Because the bonds of sin, the bondage of sin is off of you. You no longer are subject to it in a sense being that it rules your life. God rules your life. And he wants you to live a victorious life. And I would also say that he didn't sacrifice himself so we could live in the little kingdom of I. He didn't step up on that cross so that Brian could live in the little kingdom of I or you to live in your little kingdom. He didn't do that. No, he sacrificed himself so that his people would have the victory of forgiveness. You're forgiven all your sins, past, present, and future. Romans 8:1-2. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. You've been forgiven. That should in itself give you great joy in your heart. That should give you confidence to face anything, knowing that you're heaven bound. The lake of fire has been taken out of your life. So whatever adversity you're facing, and it doesn't matter what it is, up to and including death, should do nothing but bring you joy because you know that you're born of God. And what about his sin debt? What about your sin debt? Was that not paid in full? Of course it was. John 3:16 said, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." That means that he sacrificed his Son for you, Jane, for you, and you, and you, for all of his people. He sacrificed his Son that we might live as victors, not victims. It's for these reasons our text makes it abundantly clear that every believer, every single one of you who know Jesus Christ as your Savior, every one of you have the power, you have the strength, and you have the duty to live a victorious life in Christ. You have the power, you have the strength, and you have the duty to live victoriously in Christ. That gives a little background of our text. Now let's look at it. Specifically, let's look at what it says. And let's dig out some applications. The Bible says, "For everyone who is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith." Now John begins by revealing the root of our victory in Jesus is being born of God. I had no victory before I was saved. I had a victory every day if I made a couple of bucks, if I stayed healthy, if I had a good day and a good night. That was my victory. That's all I had. Not anymore. What John is saying here, he's making a distinction between God's elect and the lost when he says the victory is being born of God. Not everybody's born of God. You didn't come into this world born of God. You came into this world with a sin nature. You had the sin nature of Adam. And at some point in time, God put a calling on your life. He touched your heart. He let you see your sin against who he is. And what did it do? It brought repentance to your heart. You were truly sorry for offending him. And in doing that, You repented of your sins. That means you changed your lifestyle. You started living more with biblical standards in your life. And as you grew, the standards, you'd learn more and more. That's what it is. It's a changed life. The lost, they have no changed life. You come into the world, a natural man, and you leave. If you leave the world without receiving Christ, you leave it as a natural man. The natural man is in 1 Corinthians 2:14. It says, the natural man does not discern the things of God, for they are spiritually discerned, and neither can he know them. I didn't know anything about God. I didn't care about God. All I cared about was the next day and today. That's it. But John is making a distinction here. The term born of God means we're adopted into God's family. Do you understand that? Do you know it's not just a metaphor? You know, I'm part of a royal priesthood. I'm a member of God. Of God's family. That's not a metaphor. That's an actual thing. You have a new family. You have a spiritual family that you never had before. And if you don't think that's true, go to our Bible study downstairs and watch what happens when all of the family gets together. I've never been to a family, my family reunion, my blood family on earth here, that reunion, and had as much joy as I do when I'm with my brothers and sisters in Christ. It's true. You're adopted. You have to, and that's the other thing about the Bible. You have to understand something. This Bible gives you all the information you need to serve God, to learn what his will is, and to do his will. But you have to claim it. You have to believe it. You have to have faith in it. I believe that I'm a member of God's family. I believe all of my brothers and sisters in front of me right now are members of that same family. And when I'm with them, my joy is overflowing all the time. And theirs is too. Why? Because we're claiming to be God's children and we know it. We believe it and we know it. We have faith in it. That's so important. And the Bible makes that abundantly clear. Turn with me in your Bible to the book of Romans. I want you to turn to chapter 8. And I want you to look with me. I'm going to read chapter 8. I want to read verses 16 and 17. Romans 8, 16 and 17. Here Paul writes, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs, joint and fellow heirs with Christ. God is saying that if you are in Christ, you are an heir of Christ. And what that simply means is that you're part of the family of God. Does not the Holy Spirit indwell God's children? Of course he does. He's sealed within us as a down payment for what's to come when we leave this world. What a wonderful thought that is. It's not a dysfunctional family. You know, a lot of families are kind of dysfunctional. But God's family is just filled with joy. They're filled with the proper attitudes. They're filled with love. They're filled with understanding. They're filled with patience for each other. They're filled with the Spirit of God. And the result of that is a joy that passes all understanding. And as part of God's family, you and I are being conformed to the family image. You know, the children take the traits of the parents, and that's true. So we're born of God or reborn. That means that we're being conformed to the image of God's family, to God himself. Romans 8:29, if you're still in Romans, just look at Romans 8:29. For those whom he foreknew, what? He also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. What does that mean? That means every single day in my life, God's going to put something in your life, in my life, that's going to help us be more Christ-like. That's going to help us be more loving, for example, more trustworthy, more zealous for God. More wanting to help other brothers and sisters, help other people. That's the beauty of salvation, is that God is making us more and more the image of his son, that we might be fit for heaven, as it were. And that confirmation process we all go through, that's all the things we face every day. That's the adversity I started out telling you about. That's really what it is. It's those things that form you. It strengthens you. And it gives you a new spiritual nature so you can reflect those traits, God's character, out into the world. You can't do that without training. It's like going in the military. If you just went in the military and they said, okay, Brian, you're 18, you're 19 years old, here's a weapon. The safety's over there. Just aim it at the enemy and shoot him. How well are you going to do with that? No. I went to boot camp for 14 weeks. I learned how to use a weapon. I learned how to take care of myself. I learned all the things I had to do to go to war, because we were at war at the time. And so if I was sent into the battlefield, I knew what I had to do to survive, and I knew what I had to do my duty. And that's what the confirmation process God puts us through is for. It's to help us have a better understanding of God by experience, not by knowledge. Brother, too many brothers and sisters get all hung up on putting this in their head, and that's it. This needs legs. You need to take what you learn and you need to use it. I've said in Bible classes 50 times anyway, if you didn't have a Bible, if the people in our Bible study had no Bible, the Bible was taken away from you, already know enough to serve God, to please God, and to worship God. You know enough, but you have to exercise it. And to keep jamming stuff in your head, oh, I heard this sermon, I heard that sermon, or I studied this and I studied that, and not use it is wasteful. James says, be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourself. That's what being conformed is. God puts a little fire in an angel's life. He does it for a reason. He wants angel to be conformed to his image. He wants angel to handle things the way he should handle them biblically. How often do believers forget that? How often do we do what we want and say, well, I know God wants me to do it, or I wouldn't be doing it? That's not true. We have to understand that we have to claim these things. That's what the confirmation process is about. Now, getting back to our text, John ends the first part of the text with overcoming the world. Overcoming the world. You know what that term means? That term means that we will triumph over the spiritual forces of all evil and the sinful, godless system of this world. That's why sometimes I'm amazed when I hear about people who get all caught up in world events. What did Paul say in Timothy? Something, Wink, I think he said, that a soldier doesn't entangle himself with the affairs of the world. Why? Because you're not of the world. You're in the world, but you're not of it. Matter of fact, you're here to get the victory over the world. And you're to do that every single day. And the reason you're to do that every day is so that is because you're going to have spiritual warfare every single day in your personal life and in the world. And that's part of the confirmation process as well. But you have the victory over it. Don't forget that. Paul defines the spirit world this way. Ephesians 2, 1 and 3. Here he writes, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, that's Satan, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom, here he comes, he says, we all once lived, Paul's including himself in that, in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. That's what he delivered you from. That's what you fight from every day. That's what he wants you to be victorious over every day. the spirit of the world, the spirit of self. And every day, God's people are in the world, and we have to deal with many challenges every single day. Some days we may deal with the devil. I thought for a period of time, a week or so, the devil was living in my garage. But even then, we have the victory over him, over Satan himself. James 4:7. Submit yourselves therefore to God, and here it comes. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. He'll flee from you. Resist the devil. All you have to do. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to leave me. And if it's an evil spirit, if it's not the devil, if it's an evil spirit, no matter what is evil, if you command them in the name of Christ, they have to do it. Why? Why? Because Christ is Lord, and he's in you, and he's given you the power to do that. Do you believe that? Do you believe you have the power to do that? Turn. Good text for you to take home. Luke 10:19. Go with me to Luke 10:19. And some days we're going to face spiritual warfare or lost souls trying to steal our joy. In either case, we have the victory. Luke 10:19. This is Jesus Christ speaking. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And here's the best part. And nothing shall hurt you. Nothing shall hurt you. I give you the power to do it. What does that mean? That means you have the right attitude. That means that you are victorious over it. Why? Because you want to be victorious over it, because it's evil and you're fighting against evil throughout your whole Christian life. All the power you need is in that verse. Now, some people have said to me, well, that was for the disciples. Well, what are you? Are you not a disciple? It's for disciples. You're absolutely correct. And as a disciple, that power to resist evil, to overcome evil with good, is in each and every one of you. Scripture's filled, absolutely filled with verses that show we have the power to claim the victory over anything in this world. Romans 8:31 backs it up. It said, if God is for us, who can be against us? Who's going to fight against God and win? Who's going to do it? Nobody. 2 Timothy 4:18. The Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. And what he means by that is he's giving Timothy the power to overcome it so that he can glorify God by doing it. That's how you glorify God. That's how you worship God. And how about 2 Corinthians 2:14 makes it even clearer. But thanks be to God who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession. And what does Philippians 4:13 say? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What did Paul say when he prayed to get the thorn out of his side? And Jesus said, my power is made perfect in you, in your weakness. And what did Paul say? Then I glory in my weakness that the power of God rests on me. Each and every Christian, believing Christian, born again Christian, has the power to defeat evil, even the evil of themselves. They have to apply it, period. Not to mention the evil of the spiritual warfare. Even the devil himself will flee. Paul ends the verse by revealing the power that allows us to live a victorious life. Here's the power. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. Our faith. That's the power. Our faith. Now, we could sit here for a long time. Not talking about the faith you had before Christ. We all have faith before Christ. It was conditional, but we had faith. You know, I have faith that my car is going to start. Well, generally speaking. But the faith I'm talking about is, or that the verse is talking about is the gift of divine faith that God gives his children when he saves them. Ephesians 2:8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not of yourself, that is a gift of God. And in verse 9, he goes on to say, not of works, lest anyone should boast. God gives each and every one of his children faith. The faith that you had before Christ is carnal faith. It's faith that's conditioned on things. Our faith is unconditional. You have unconditional faith in Christ. You walk in Christ. You do supernatural things. And I'll give you an example. Instead of going to warfare, how about your life being changed? How about the things in your life that offended God that after you were saved, he gave you the power to get over? How about those things? How about all the ways that he changed your life once you were saved? And listen, if you weren't saved, if your life didn't change, then how do you know you're saved? One of the reasons you know you're saved is because he did give you the power to get over yourself and to change your life. You know that. The gift of faith. Jesus tells us the unconditional power of divine faith moves mountains. It's a metaphor. It'll move anything. Matthew 17:20. Jesus told his disciples, "Truly I say to you, if you have the faith of a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it'll move, and nothing will be impossible for you." That's the power of faith. And we see that power of faith in many things. Moses parted the Red Sea. Daniel slept with lions. David overcame Goliath. Why? Faith. Nobody did it. No, all of Israel wouldn't go up against Goliath. One man, a teenager, with three shiny stones and a slingshot. And faith. Five. And faith is what got that one rock where it needed to be. And God delivered him. He even told him before he did it. And he says, I'm going to paraphrase it. He says, "And God will deliver your head to me today." And he did. That's the power of faith. And that's the thing that people lack, brothers and sisters lack, and become victims in life rather than victors. Their faith. They don't strengthen their faith. You have the faith, but you have to strengthen it. And it's a daily thing that you have to do. I want to give you some applications you can take home from just what I said. Any and all trials, tribulations, or temptations, or any other adversity you face in life, you have the power to get over. The prayers you mentioned, people raise their hand. The ones that didn't raise their hand, that were in their heart, you have the power to get over those. You do. Linda, you have the power to get over that. And all you have to do is just take your faith and use it. It's sort of like if I have my truck out there and I want to go somewhere, what am I going to do? Am I going to just say, a nice truck and walk? I got to get in that thing. I got to start it and I got to put it in gear and I have to go. That's the same thing with your faith. You can say you have faith and you can have faith, but you got to use it. You got to exercise it. No pain, no gain. That's the adversity. That's the conforming. It's the power of your faith that gives you the ability to overcome sin, self, and even Satan himself. Proof verses 1 John 4:4. It's just one chapter over. It says, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he that's in the world." He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. You have that power of the Holy Spirit living within you. Do you understand that? And the ability to overcome all evil is a distinguishing sign that demonstrates that you're truly born of God. It's the power that you demonstrate in your life. For these and so many other reasons, no child of God should have to live as a Christian victim. You shouldn't have to live that way. You shouldn't live that way. It's a sin to live that way. It's saying, "I don't believe you, Father. I don't believe you, Jesus." That's what it's saying. I don't believe Romans 8:28. I don't believe Jeremiah 29:11. I know my plans for you. They are for good, to give you a hope. You don't believe it. And just imagine this, if you will. Just imagine, as a believer, what it would be like to go home to glory, to leave this planet and go home to heaven and offer your Savior a victim's fruit basket. Imagine what that'd be like for all that he's given you. Imagine what it would be like to say, hey, Lord, this is my fruit basket. I was a victim most of my life. I couldn't get over myself. I couldn't do this. I couldn't do that. I couldn't. And there's just a few fruit in there. How would you feel? Instead of going up to him and saying, Lord, thank you for the faith that you gave me. I try to exercise it every single day and do it. Lord, they're bringing in more fruit. They're coming in a truckload. You know why? Because I committed my life to you every single day. I love you. Thank you so much. I wish I could have done more for you. That's somebody that has a victorious life in Christ. And you don't have to be a special person. Anybody who's born of God has the ability and has the power to do it. You just have to want to do it. You have to make the commitment to God that every single day I'm going to live my life for you, not myself. I'm going to go to work. I'm going to put a fingerprint of love on every conversation, on everything that I do. It's all going to be for your glory. That's all you have to do. And you have the power to do it. But the key is you have to cut yourself out of it. And for believers, we're still in the flesh. God did not regenerate our flesh. He regenerated our soul and our spirit. So we struggle with our flesh every single day. And all we have to do is make a commitment to God and say, Lord, I'm still in the flesh, but Lord, I'm going to get over it with your help today. Would you strengthen me to get over myself? Would you strengthen me to deny myself? Would you strengthen me to pick up your cross and carry it today? Would you do that? And was he going to say no? Of course not. He'll do it. The thing to take home for all of you listening that know Jesus Christ is your Savior, the thing to take home is this. You were gifted. You were gifted with great power. You were gifted with a divine family. You were gifted with the ability to do supernatural things in your life and to show it to the world. You were gifted with love that passes anything you could understand, and you're to reflect that love into the world. You're not to keep anything he gave you. You're to give it out. And you have the power to do that. All that you have to do is have the want to do it. There's no reason in the world why anyone born of God should be a victim in life. There's no reason at all. Now, if you're listening to this and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, unfortunately for you, there's no purpose in life except to live another day, go on vacation, make sure the checking account balances. That's about it. There's no victory in your life. The victory is to live another day. But the good news is that Jesus Christ calls on you to repent of your sins because, as he said, and I tell you as his minister, the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven, is at hand right now. The gospel message to you is that there's none righteous. There's no, not one. We're all sinners. We come into this world with a sin nature. And as soon as we're old enough to act on it, we do. We've all sinned. There's no exceptions to that. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's Romans 8:23. And Romans 8:6:23 says that the penalty, if you leave this world without receiving Jesus Christ's sacrifice for your sins, the penalty for it is death. And you know, you can find more about that in Revelation 20:13-15, where God puts all those who have not had their sin debt paid into the lake of fire. They're thrown into the lake of fire. It's eternal. You don't get out. There's no parole. It's strictly there for all eternity. That's what you'll pay yourself if you don't. That's the bad news. But it doesn't have to be that way. The good news is John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And what that simply means is this. All that means is you have to tell God you're sorry for what you did and that you want to change your mind about certain things in life and change it towards a biblical attitude. Change it to live for something that has a purpose besides yourself. That's what it is. That's the good news. And if you're willing to do that, then you see me or you call me if you're listening online, and I'll show you in his word how he wants you to be born of God, to be born again, to be born of God, and to have the power that we talked about this morning in your life so that your life will change. And in changing your life, he'll use you to change other people's lives as well, because they'll see the glory of God in you. If that's you, you call me or see me. For my brothers and sisters in Christ, I leave you with the benediction of 2 Thessalonians 2:16 and 17. Here Paul told them, and I tell you. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts, establish them in every good work and word. Go out this week and remember, you have victory in Jesus. You are a victor, not a victim.